If you've listened to this podcast for any length of time, or you've listened to the predecessor to this show, the Chicken Yogi Show, then you know that I have some issues with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And I believe that if you are in the normative group for society, for your prevailing culture, which here in the U.S. would be cis, white, heterosexual, financially stable, gainfully employed, basically upper middle class or above, if you fall into those categories, then yeah, Maslow's hierarchy of needs pretty much makes sense for you. But if you are in any sort of marginalized group, if you are queer, if you're neurodivergent, disabled, chronically ill, if you are a Black, Indigenous, or person of color, if you have any deviations from the cultural norms that are tried to be propagated in America. And again, we could argue till the cows come home about cultural norms and who's really normative and who isn't, but the perception of cultural norms, then you know that Maslow's hierarchy of needs is kind of a piece of crap, because there are some assumptions that are made. And the one I want to talk about today surrounds safety, specifically safety and connecting with your source or connecting with your spirituality. Welcome to the Feather Mane Soul Wisdom Show. You're listening to Feather Mane Soul Wisdom, a podcast designed for people looking to live embodied lives and find their authentic selves. This show is hosted by Kit Kailstow, body theologian and spiritual mentor. If you're looking to get in touch with your inner spirit, then this show is for you. Thanks for listening. And now, this week's show. Hello, and welcome to the Feather Mane Soul Wisdom Show. I'm Kit Kailstow, your host, and it's been a while since I've come to you through this podcast. I apologize for the delay. Some of it was related to some stuff I was dealing with, and some of it was related to some technology bits. I'm still on the old microphone setup, so I apologize for any sound quality issues. So this week, I want to talk about spirituality and safety. And I feel like this is a topic that, especially for those of us in the areas where I work, which is that Venn diagram of queer, neurodivergent, and disabled or chronically ill, especially if you're kind of smack dab in the middle of that Venn diagram, nobody talks a lot about safety. It's a taboo. It's a taboo subject. One of the things that I've noticed being neurodivergent is if I bring up something that's bothering me or something that's affecting me, the person that I'm speaking with, who quite often is neurotypical, will just completely ignore that and go on as if I hadn't said something. When I wasn't looking maybe for any help, I wasn't looking for any sort of sympathy, but some acknowledgement. Hey, sorry to hear that. You know, something like that. To be validated, I guess, is the technical psychology term. But mostly, people just ignore it. If you have safety issues, they don't see it, they don't believe it, they gaslight the hell out of you over it. And so that's what I wanted to talk about today, because I've come to some pretty big realizations surrounding spirituality and safety. So let's go back to this Maslow guy. Psych 101, you learn the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. A quick refresher, the first layer is your physiological needs. So either air, water, food, shelter, sleep, clothing, reproduction. Next is your safety needs, which would be personal security, employment, resources, health, property. Then you move into love and belonging. Then you move into esteem and then self-actualization. In previous podcasts, I've talked about how that hierarchy, the way they teach it, really makes it sound, and Maslow makes it sound, like it's a stair step. You get one need met, and then the next, and the next, and the next, and the next. And it's a pyramid, and self-actualization is there at the top. It's the pinnacle of the pyramid. Well, on pyramids, that's also the smallest portion. I would almost argue that if it is a pyramid, if you are thinking of it as a step process, then safety needs to be at that bottom. And that goes hand in hand with your physiological needs, because let's be honest, if you don't have shelter, you are not physically safe. If you don't have sufficient food, you don't have health, that means your health isn't safe, your needs aren't safe, your resources probably aren't safe, your property probably isn't safe. Those physiological needs and safety really go hand in hand. And in our society, there's a really big case that you can have those physiological needs met. And I'm just going to speak for myself here, you know. I live out in the country. I have sufficient air. We have our own well. As long as we have electricity, we have water. And generally, we know when we're about to lose electricity, like in the case of severe weather. So we make sure that we stockpile enough for a few days. We've been through this enough. We have sufficient food. We have a roof over our heads. I mean, yeah, the house needs work and there's some issues. We're probably going to have to replace it soon. But we do have some form of shelter. Sleep. I technically can sleep. Part of my disability is it affects my sleep quality, which again is kind of why that, you know, having health and sleep or health and food on two different levels doesn't really make sense. Because if you have a health condition that affects your sleep, or you have scarcity that affects your sleep, then, you know, that's not going to work. You could sleep but not be healthy. And so you the pyramid, like I said, I have issues with the pyramid. I guess we're just going to stop there with that, because I could probably spend a whole hour just trying to work that through and, you know, rambling about why I have issues with the pyramid. I'm also not sure about reproduction as a physiological need. That's pretty nuclear family centered, pretty heterosexually centered. Yes, couples of all kinds may or may not want to reproduce, may or may not want children, may or may not want to have children, adopt children, be around children. There's many different reasons in there. And again, that's assuming an awful lot about the people that you're actually applying this pyramid to. So let's talk about safety. That kind of was a big ramble there about the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So let's talk a little bit about safety. When I'm talking about safety, I'm talking about basically a three-pronged concept. There's physical safety, there is mental/emotional safety, and then there is spiritual/energetic safety. Obviously, if you are engaging in spirituality, whether that's through organized religion or with an informal group or on your own, you need to have physical safety. If you are attending a church that, for example, makes you feel unwelcome or makes you feel as if your existence is a sin, then that lack of physical safety is going to impact your spiritual practice. That's going to raise all sorts of questions about your spiritual practice in your own mind. You know, the foremost being that if you believe in a higher power, why does the higher power allow this? Why does the church teach this? Is there something wrong with you? Is there something wrong with the church? Is there something wrong with the teachings? It just complicates things. And so physical safety is a must, and physical safety has to be ensured before you can even think about emotional or energetic safety. So I'm going to step into that next level, which is the emotional safety, because you can be in an environment where you are physically safe. And again, not to, you know, use myself for an example, but as a mostly solitary practitioner, especially as I'm building our 501c3 pagan church, mostly it's just me and the website right now. As I'm building this, then, you know, I am physically safe. I am coming to you from my office cabin on my homestead. And, You know, provided the cats don't get the zoomies and run over me, I am physically safe. And even then, I would probably laugh, as I do when the cats get the zoomies and jump over us. If you're a cat owner or a dog owner, you understand. So you can be in a physically safe environment, but because of things that happened to you in your past, that can make you feel unsafe. And this, again, I'm speaking about spiritual pursuits, but this would impact working. You know, if you've come from a toxic job, then you know that next job, you're going to be wary until you either figure out if that job is toxic or if it's not. And the more people tell you that they're not toxic or the job's not toxic, the more red flags that's going to throw up, because you wonder what are they hiding? And so kind of the same thing happens with churches and organizations. And I feel this acutely as a trans masculine person. I pay a really close attention to language and what language is used to know whether I would even be welcome there or not. And the same thing, again, online groups, social groups, even something as simple as a Facebook group. I will listen to what language is used and know whether I am welcome or not. And so that emotional safety, and then we're going to talk a little bit about energetic safety, but that emotional safety is so important. And I want to take this out of the realm of organized religion and talk more about spirituality in general. Because what I have found, both myself as well as in talking to other people in this situation, is that even once you remove yourself from an unsafe, either physical or emotional environment, spiritual environment, that is going to impact your ability to connect with your spirituality and your higher self, your soul, your guiding wisdom, your guardian angels, any divine beings, whatever is encompassed within your spirituality. That's going to impact your way of dealing with that or connecting with that. Now, part of me wants to say if you're lucky, but if you are grounded and solid, solid isn't the word I want, but if you have a strong enough relationship with yourself and know who you are and your authenticity and your authentic connection with any, again, your higher self, your guides, guardian angels, divine, divinity, soul. Know when I am saying spirit, I'm encompassing all of that. If that relationship has been unburdened or unharmed by whatever relationship you had with a group, then you probably are going to weather that storm pretty well. If you have had a difficult spiritual experience and a spiritual experience that really kind of made you question who you are as a person and what you believe in, that dark night of the soul, then that does have the potential to bring you closer to your spirituality, but you first have to have safety, and that is also an extremely long road. And so I want to talk, before I kind of come back to that, I want to talk a little bit about energetic safety. So we have all been in situations, whether you're, you know, an energy worker or not, whether you're familiar with energy practices, energy healing practices, like Reiki or even things like sound baths. If you're aware of those or not, you've probably been in situations where you have come out of those situations feeling very uplifted and energized. And you've also probably come out of other situations, where you feel very drained. And so that is an energetic drain. And what often happens is, especially if you find yourself in kind of a murky spiritual situation where doesn't feel toxic. It's not raising any red flags, but you just come out of everything and you just feel so tired or so exhausted, then that's an energy drain. And so there are ways to actually protect your energy. And I want to talk about those on a future podcast. But also, what does safety have to do with any of this? And safety, to me, happens on multiple dimensions and multiple dimensions at once. When you are safe, it is more than having your needs met. You can have your needs met and still be in a very unsafe situation. You have to be safe within yourself. You have to be safe with yourself. And I think this is a concept that a lot of people don't think about. Some people have this automatically. Other people tend to kind of compartmentalize this and think, well, you know, I'm supposed to do X, Y, and Z, so the rest of this doesn't matter. When we're dealing with spiritual things, and when we're connecting with ourselves, and when we're connecting with our authentic selves, and we're connecting with our truth, our spirit, again, guardians, guides, higher powers, soul, whatever you call it, whatever terminology you use, whatever spiritual beliefs you have around that. When you are connecting with that and you are connecting with yourself and your inner guides and your inner compass, you have to feel safe. And if you have experienced traumatic events in your life, just in general, if you are familiar with the adverse childhood experiences score, and you have experienced a high adverse childhood experiences score, for example, as many people do, and many people, and you know, there's a subset of those who have a high adverse childhood experiences score who wouldn't think, yeah, but I wasn't abused. And I just want to remind everybody that there are many different facets to abuse, many different layers to not feeling safe, not feeling like you have your needs met, not feeling comforted and supported as a young developing child. And your trauma can also come as an adult. It can come outside of those adverse childhood experiences. But when you have had either a singular traumatic experience or a large number of traumatic experiences in your life, that can cause you to not feel safe with yourself because you're not sure, you don't trust yourself, or because you are not sure that you are able to support and take care of yourself as you need. And there's so many different facets to this. It's a topic that on a personal level I'm delving into quite a bit. But I think where this comes from our spirituality is one of those facets of life that even though you could see that on Maslow's hierarchy of needs, I believe it comes from self-acceptance. I believe spirituality falls into self-actualization. That when you look at all of that, then you need to be able to feel safe. That you need to be able to feel that you belong in the position that you're in, that you are worthy of being in the position that you're in. You need to trust that the spirituality is what you need at this time, that there's safety in knowing what you need at this time. There needs to be safe that you can act in a way that you want to. And again, you know, that doesn't hurt other people, of course, but that you can act on your spiritual needs in a way that feels fulfilling, in a way that feels actualization. And even if those needs do not align with, for example, other other peer groups, other peoples of your friends, family, your upbringing, that it's still safe to explore other spiritual identities. There's a lot that goes into safety. And then again, coming back to the people that, you know, my communities, the people that I work with, if you are queer, if you're neurodivergent, if you're chronically ill or disabled, you're also probably dealing with an unpacking a whole lot of isms, a whole lot of shoulds, a whole lot of stories. And this is where my spiritual storytelling comes really into play, that you are unpacking a lot of what's told about you that you maybe internalized, rather than discovering what spiritual stories ring true for you going forward. So it's a case where that sense of safety, it's hard to articulate because it looks different for every single person. So for me, and for a lot of people I work with, that safety shows up in feeling emotionally safe. That if you are in a spiritual space practicing your spirituality, that you're not going to be gaslit, that you're not going to be abused emotionally, financially, other ways. And a lot of that, again, comes out of some past experiences that I've had. But a lot of that simply comes out of being gaslit in other areas of my life about whether I was feeling safe or not. And in turn, you kind of start to treat yourself that way. Well, is this really a dangerous, you know, is this really an unsafe situation? Is this really a traumatic situation? Or am I just projecting what happened in the past on this? You know, that sort of questioning yourself, not quite sure you're feeling what you're really feeling, that type of lack of trust in yourself and in your feelings really affects how safe you feel, especially in a spiritual environment. And so the work that I do is, you know, first of all, you need to feel safe within yourself. You need to feel safe within your own skin. You need to feel safe within your own body. And cultivating that safety is going to take, again, many different things for many different people. We each have different needs of safety in our own body. And we each have different ways of finding that safety, or ways that make us feel safe and feel protected in our own bodies. And so what that looks like for you may differ. For example, if you are a transgender individual, whether it is safe for you to transition socially, medically, professionally, personally, you know, in any, all the different ways that you actually transition. It's not just one transition. It's a large transition. It's going to take space over time. Depending on where you're at in your journey with that, then safety is going to look differently. If you are disabled or chronically ill, safety in your body is going to look different for you, even compared to another disabled or chronically ill person, because your health status may be different. Your health challenges may be different. Your medical support may be different. Your medical team, depending on how supportive they are or how concerned they are, all of that's different. And all of that creates different layers of nuance for finding safety. And so because I don't have every answer for everybody, and I freely admit that, and because the answers that we have are each different for ourselves, I think where I would want to end this part of the conversation and start opening up the doors to other conversations is to think about what that safety looks like in your body, and think about what that safety looks like and how that safety feels for you in your body. And where do you feel safe? Where don't you feel safe? Is there an energetic component to it? Is there an emotional or a spiritual component to it? Is there a physical component to it? I do want to say, if you physically do not feel safe in the space that you are in, I would encourage you to, first of all, reach out for help. There are many resources depending on where you're located, depending on the type of situation you're in. I would also encourage you to find a place where you feel physically safe. Now, depending on many different factors, because of the state of the world right now, just for the record, I'm recording this late June 2025, physical safety is going to look different depending on which communities you belong to. And so I would sincerely hope, and in my heart, I hope that you can find one place, maybe one person, one spot where you can take a deep breath and feel physically safe, even if you're still dealing with other layers or other safety concerns in your mind, as far as, you know, having to juggle emotional safety, safety at a workplace, that sort of thing. I encourage you, I sincerely hope that you find at least one place to feel safe. And the purpose of my having this conversation with you, the purpose of my speaking out about this, is I truly believe that if we are to be liberated people, if we are to be people who can be our true authentic selves, that we also have to experience that sense of safety within. And so that's the work that I want to do on a spiritual level to help people find that safety within, as I have found that safety within and as I am working to cultivate more safety within, because safety is an ongoing process. Safety isn't like a journey to Disneyland where you arrive in the parking lot and ta-da, I'm here. Safety is an ongoing process. It's sometimes a minute-by-minute process, depending on what you face. Sometimes it's a second by second process. If you're in a situation where your health conditions, physical, mental, emotional, where those maybe aren't being as good as they can, we'll say that. If your brain's being a bastard to you, then sometimes that emotional safety comes. Sorry about that. From, you know, a moment by moment, I am safe. I am safe. And then that's where we bring in our somatic practices. That's where we bring in our meditation practices, our embodied practices. And we actually ground ourselves in our bodies instead of in our minds. That's for another podcast. I appear to be losing my voice today, so I do sincerely apologize again. This is something that's been happening quite a lot this allergy season. So I kind of want to leave it here. I'm very curious about your thoughts on safety. I would love to hear if anything I said resonates with you, if you have any thoughts on it. Go ahead, drop me a comment. Thank you so much for listening. I very much appreciate it. You've been listening to the Feather Mane Soul Wisdom Podcast, hosted by Kit Kailstow. Learn more about Feather Mane Soul at feathermanesoul.com. Kit's passionate about embodied living and finding authentic joy by connecting with yourself and others. Kit loves working with neurodivergent, chronically ill, or disabled individuals, as well as anyone who wants to reclaim the stories and find new stories for them. Music is Running with the Horses by Purple Planet Music. This podcast is hosted on the Muse Charmer Media Network. Find out more by visiting the podcast website and following the links to Muse Charmer. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, or follow the podcast at your favorite podcast listening or social media site. Thank you.